Invite you to take your Bibles and turn along with me. We're going to talk about the apostles. One of the frequent arguments that you might hear when you talk about the Bible with other people is, well, Jesus never said, and you can put any blank you want, and say, well, that was wrong. Or is it a common argument against that homosexual sometimes? Well, Jesus never said homosexuality was wrong. But you'll find that with other arguments as well. And it really doesn't matter. The issue is thoroughly discussed in the New Testament. The focus is solely directed on whether Jesus made a direct statement about that subject. And the implication of that argument is that the teachings of the apostles don't hold weight unless there's a record of Jesus discussing that particular issue. It's almost as if, well, the apostles only gave commentary on Jesus' teachings, and some even go so far as to claim that the apostles' teachings actually differ from Jesus. I've heard this argument before. Well, Paul said this, but Jesus said that. As if they were two different approaches. We got to be careful about that. We have to understand that the Bible comes from one source. And sometimes we approach it as if, well, these are these people's thoughts or these people's ideas, and they're not. Let's look at what it says as far as the teachings, where the teachings come from. In Hebrews chapter 1, starting with verse 1, it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, in whom he appointed heir of all things, through all whom also he made the world. In these days, God spoke to us through his Son. The implication here is this: these are not Christ's words. God the Father spoke through Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 12, starting with verse 49, it says, For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and to what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life, therefore the things I speak just as the Father has told me. We often talk about Jesus being the source of the New Testament teachings, and that's true, but Jesus' teachings came from God the Father. He did not teach anything differently than the Father taught. That's another important point we have to keep in mind. The New Testament teachings are not different from the Old Testament. There's different goals in mind. There's different things that have to be accomplished. But they both came from God the Father. There is no difference. In John chapter 7, and verse 16, Jesus says, Therefore, answered them and said, My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Jesus does not say that these are independent of God the Father. These are God the Father's teachings. And those teachings then were passed on to the apostles. In John 14, and verse 26, it says about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. That's an important concept. Jesus only taught what the Father wanted taught. Then the Holy Spirit was sent to the apostles to bring them to remembrance everything that Jesus taught. Well, then that would have to be what the Father taught. They would have an accurate remembrance. Over in chapter 16, John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will come and disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said, He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you." What Jesus is saying is there's a chain here. Jesus is only teaching what the Father once taught. The Spirit is going to take everything that Jesus knew and disclose it to the apostles. But Jesus points out again, what I have comes from the Father. So what comes from the Father goes to Jesus, goes to the Holy Spirit, goes to the apostles. How much of it? He says, all the truth. It doesn't leave much of a gap, does it? And thus what we find is Paul making the claim in Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1. Starting with verse 11. "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by Me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Where did Paul's teaching come from? Through a revelation. Who made the revelation? The Holy Spirit. What was He revealing? Jesus Christ. Was that not what was promised by Jesus? And Paul is saying, this is where my teachings come from. It doesn't come from man. Paul is making the claim that his teachings are not his opinions. These are not something that he thinks is the way things ought to be. He's claiming that these are the teachings of God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. That's why the apostles claim to know the mind of Christ. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." How do we know what God wants? How do we know what God thinks? We only know it because God reveals it and tells us. And that's what the apostles claimed. It was not their own words. In fact, earlier in this chapter, starting with verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 7, it says, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as is written, things which has eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Paul's saying, these are not my words. These are the Spirit's words. And the Spirit got them from God, the Father. And as we saw in the other passages, through Jesus Christ. Now the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all teach the same thing. There's no difference. And the words that the apostles taught, they said, they didn't come from man. They came from God. And he points out, hey, Which of us know what another person's thinking? And the answer is none of us do until that person tells us what they're thinking. How many of us know what God thinks? And the answer is the same. None of us knows until the Spirit of God tells us. And those are the words which Paul says they wrote. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 16, he says, all Scripture, and that word Scripture means the written words of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. The Greek word there literally is breathed by God. All Scripture is breathed by God, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All Scripture came straight from the mouth of God, is basically what he's saying. And that's why it's useful in so many ways in our lives. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning stars arise in your hearts. But know first this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is of a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever been made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. No Scripture came by human will. It all came from the Spirit. That's why he says this is not a private interpretation. It doesn't work to say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. I'll put my own spin on what God said. No, God knew what he was talking about. And so we have to pay attention to what God said. And what was given to the apostles were passed on. And what was passed on was God's words. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting with verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 13. And for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They were not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men. They received the words that were given to them as what they were, from God. They were truths of God. These are not men's opinions. And the early church understood this. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 3, says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is, has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And he goes on to explain that what was a mystery was the fact that the Gentiles would be saved. Other people didn't understand, but we, the apostles, understood because they had the Spirit explaining it to them. And he said, when we're writing these down so that you can understand, so when you read it, you understand the same thing that we do. That's why the Bible was written for us. In fact, think about it this way. If only Jesus' words were binding. And that's why you have a lot of Bibles with red letter editions to put extra emphasis on what Jesus said. If only Jesus' words were binding, doesn't that put the people who claim that in a bind? Because those words were written down by the apostles. Jesus didn't write any of those words. The apostles wrote them down accurately because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then they go and claim that what the apostles wrote is different from what Jesus taught. That doesn't make sense. See, the only way to God is through the teachings of Jesus. But that's because Jesus taught from God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, John 14, starting with verse 6, says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is the only way to get to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. Later on in this same chapter, in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you really love Jesus, then you'll do what Jesus asked you to do. Because down at the end of the chapter, verse 28, John 14, verse 28, you have heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, and for the Father is greater than I am. I wrote down the wrong verse here. I want chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. He who rejects me does not receive my sayings, but has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what I will judge him at the last day. Why is it so important to obey Jesus? Because we're going to be judged by those words. But Jesus said, well, I'm not teaching anything but what the Father wants taught. It's all consistent. And these are the words by which we will be judged. These are the words by which God will determine whether we are going to heaven or not. So therefore, listening to the apostles also have to be important because they're teaching us Christ's words. In Luke chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus told the apostles, the one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. It all follows because they're all the same thing. Jesus tells the apostles, if people don't listen to you, they're not listening to me. In other words, with those people that say, well, Paul taught this and we don't have to listen to Paul. No, Paul only taught what Jesus taught. And so they're rejecting Christ when they reject what Paul taught. When somebody said, well, Peter thought this, and as if that's something to be dismissed, they're rejecting Christ. Because Peter taught what Christ taught. And then ultimately what they're doing is they're rejecting God because all of them taught what the Father wanted taught. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me just as I am also of Christ. We're to follow Paul's example because he's following Christ. Or in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. I'm writing this down so that you don't forget what I told you. Because these are Jesus' words spoken by the apostles. These are not words to be ignored. These are words to be followed. to be mindful of. These are commandments. In fact, when Paul was arguing one point, he said in 1 Corinthians 14, and in verse 37, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. He's making sure that we understand. These are not my ideas and my opinions. These are what Jesus Christ said to write. And so we have to obey them. In 2 Timothy, or Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 14, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, says, and it was far for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you are taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. However you've learned it first, hold on to what you were taught. In fact, when we look at the significance of what was recorded, for instance, when Peter talked about Paul's writings, he mentions them in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and regarding the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, which in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Peter has a lot of compliments about Paul's writings. He says these are things that are important to learn. Yeah, there's some things that are hard, and some things that take a little bit of effort to learn and understand, but these are important things to learn, because people are constantly twisting the scriptures. And that's important to understand. Peter lumps Paul's writings in with scripture. Peter says Paul's writings are inspired. And whether a person listens to the apostles, that distinguishes them as whether they are followers of Christ. In 1 John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6 says, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's just what Jesus said in Luke. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. Here's how we know whether people are actual followers of God or not. Do they listen to what the apostles teach? Because the apostles are ambassadors for Christ. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled to us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God has in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, now counting their trespasses against him, he has committed to us the words of reconciliation. God wanted the world reconciled to himself. How did he do it? He did it through Christ. In what means? Through the gospel which these people taught. And so in verse 20, it says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. An ambassador is one who speaks for the leaders of a nation. And that's what the apostles were. They were ambassadors for the Lord, the leader of the world. Going into a foreign country, one's underneath the reign of Satan, teaching them what the Lord wanted taught. And those words were able to save. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, in which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the words which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I have also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. These are the words in which we are saved." What words did he refer to? The things that he wrote, the things that he taught as an ambassador for Christ. Therefore, we're going to be judged. Remember, Jesus said we're going to be judged by his words. Well, take a look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, "On the day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus, we are also going to be judged according to the writings of Paul and the other apostles, because these are Christ's words." That's why it's so important not to alter them. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, "I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only that there are some disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed." I don't know how stronger you can say. You cannot change the teachings of Christ and expect to get to heaven. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting with verse 6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep a law from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the traditions which you received from us. For you yourselves know that you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you." If someone doesn't want to stay with what Christ taught, they're to be withdrawn from. See, there's no contrast between Jesus' teachings and the apostles' teachings. There is a harmonious unit that brings us the Word of God. They all teach the same thing. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, that'll be our last passage, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4, "There is one body, one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." There is only one God the Father. There's only one Lord Jesus. There's only one Holy Spirit. And they all gave us one faith to believe. There's no contrast. There's no difference. These are the teachings of God. And these are the ones that we're commanded to follow. But I can offer an opportunity this morning. If there's anyone here who's not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ and start following the teachings of Christ and make it a part of your life so that you can go to heaven. If there's anyone here who is not a child of God, there's an opportunity right now to do so, to become one. If there is anyone who is a child of God, I would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward and we stand and sing the song selected.